Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, I really want to proceed on the season two theme that we've been dealing with so far, and that's not holding any punches, not letting anybody off the hook. And speaking of not letting anything off the hook, I am honestly shocked that the whole Andrew Wilson and Coach Greg Adams thing is still relevant. Not that I thought that these two individuals were not relevant to the Manosphere space, which I don't consider myself to really be part of it. I consider myself to be kind of on the fringe, which I've been really in my whole life. I've kind of been on the fringe of a lot of things. But I'm gonna shoot straight with you. I fully disagree with Andrew Wilson. I fully disagree with it, and I'll tell you why. I disagree with him because he's selling you hope. And so, hope dealing is one of the most dangerous drugs out there. If anybody's ever read The Hunger Games, great book, by the way. Movies are pretty good. Book's fantastic. But there's a quote from President Snow in the first book that's very telling. And he's talking to the game master. Wow, I'm not blanking on the guy's name. What's the guy's name? Seneca Crane, I think, is the guy's name. I think that's the guy's name. He's talking to him, and he's cutting roses. And he says, everybody loves an underdog. And President Snow says, I don't. I don't like underdogs. And he asks him, why do you think we do this thing called the Hunger Games? Which if you haven't seen it, I don't know how you haven't. It's been huge for 10 years. Asked him, why do you think we do what we do? And Senator Crane says, I don't know. He says, if it was just about eliminating and then intimidating the districts, we could just put them all in an arena and have a firing squad take care of the job. Why do we have the Hunger Games? He said, hope. Because the hope that one person gets out, the hope that you could potentially survive and win the game and become a victor, gives the districts hope. But just enough hope that they can survive, not win the game, but survive. And I believe that that's essentially what the church has become today. We're not trying to teach men to thrive. We're not explaining to them. You have two sides of the spectrum. One, the survivalists. And then two, you have the hopium addicts who want to sit here and act like the 1950s never ended and we can go back there again if only we do blank. These are the hopium dealers. Now, anybody who listened to guys like Big John, shout out to Big John, guys like, I like the Black Manosphere content creators, I'll be honest with you. They were my first exposure to what you might perceive as the Red Pill when I was going through my Red Pill Ranger, shout out to CGA, it's one of his sayings. When I was in my Red Pill rage and I was upset with the world, I was upset with the church, I was upset with all of it. The Black Manosphere really helped put things into perspective for me. And I'm not a Black man, by the way, in case you can't tell by my voice. And I'm not a Black man. But for me, a lot of these guys helped show me what I already suspected but didn't want to accept when it came to not just women, by the way. People think it's just about women. Not everything is about women. And if your whole mind is about women, I mean, you're going to have a rude awakening today because the Christian church is overall built on misandry, and I'm going to explain to you why. Not misogyny, misandry. You might ask, say, well, Austin's run by men. I mean, how could you possibly make this argument? Well, to be honest, this is not a new argument. If you've ever read a book called The Manipulated Man by Esther Vilar, fantastic book. If you ever want to learn about the world and learn about women, you must read this book or listen to it on an audiobook. You can find it on YouTube. The Manipulated Man. There's a whole chapter in there about how the church is run by women. And by the way, Esther Vilar is not a synonym for a guy. It is a woman, a German woman, who wrote the book. So if you want to sit there and call me names, go right ahead and do so at your own risk. But the Christian church, overwhelmingly, and I see this happening sometimes in the Jewish synagogues. I see this happening amongst a lot of religions, but especially for Christians. We have women bishops, women pastors, and all these people not even going through this structure I'm about to outline for you. They're circumnavigating it because it's becoming obsolete. Not even having to use men to achieve their means anymore. They can just straight out run the show. They don't even need to pretend to run the show anymore from the shadows. They can overtly run everything. Now, I'm going to explain to you why the Christian church is built on misandry. And you're going to hear it right here, and you're going to hear it firsthand. You ready? You might say, Austin, well, how is this possible? Because if you read the Bible, it says in Acts that the church is supposed to be run by men and women are supposed to be silent. Well, let me tell you something. Number one, that's a dying breed. That is not as much a thing as it once was. And number two, let me ask you a question. I will answer my question by asking you a question first before I give you the answer. Who benefits in church by following the Bible and what pastors outline? Who benefits more, men or women? Now, I want you to think about this very carefully. I don't care if you're a man or a woman or transgender or whoever. I want you to genuinely ask yourself that question. Who wins? Who benefits the most? Because if you don't ask that question the way I just did, you will not come to the right answer. The answer is women, and I'll explain to you why. It has not always been that way. There was a time when women did not benefit in the church, really, the way they do now. They benefited, just not nearly as much and not as obviously. There's actually, it's chilling when you really break it all down, which I'm about to do, and here it is. Marriage is the goal of the church. Marriage is if you listen to traditional conservatives and you listen to pastors, they tell you marriage is the foundation that's God outlined through Adam and Eve. And this is what you're supposed to do. And I agree with this. But here's the problem. The execution is the problem. Now, number one, they don't want to talk about polygamy. Why? Oh, that's just what the old guys in the Old Testament did, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. No, no, no. That's not important. God just tolerated that. That was never endorsed. Okay, we can agree to disagree on that one, but whatever, you have the pulpit and I don't, so you can feel free to gaslight me if you choose to do so. But let's go back to monogamy. Let's stick on monogamy, because otherwise we're going to lose the collective base who all their argument is oh, you just want to have sex with more chicks. No, actually, polygamy is built off of supporting more women, because most men don't have the money to support women. That's why marriage is in the toilet. This is one of the main reasons why men of my generation of Gen Z are not financially attractive. Whether you want to accept that or not is your choice, but it is true. And if you are somebody who's a little older and you say, oh, well, Austin, I mean, you just bought a house. You seem like you're in a good position. Most dudes are not like me, number one. And number two, I'm not Scrooge McDuck, okay? And women, if you've never had a living girlfriend, you've never had a wife, you don't know what I'm talking about. I have. I lived with my ex-girlfriend for almost a year. And let me tell you something. Yeah, you can call me a sinner all you want, but listen to me. Women are expensive. Okay? And so when we talk about modern day marriage, you might say, Austin, you're all over the place. No, no, no. It all makes sense and it all ties together, and you're going to see it right now. Pastors push marriage onto men and women, of course. But here's the difference. Women deal in the shadows. Men do not. Not because they don't necessarily want to, but they're not taught how to navigate the shadows. Women are put up on game by other women, even in the church. Men are not. So when a man gets into a marriage, he's probably maybe had one or two sexual partners, maybe three if he's lucky. Woman's had 10 times that, if not more. And now, even if you're married to a woman like that, I'm not calling her any names. I'm letting you know she has more sexual experience than you, which you might say is not a big deal, but I would disagree, number one. And number two, we're also ignoring the elephant in the room. The fact that the institution that Ronald Reagan, your sacred Ronald Reagan, started in California in the 80s. No fault divorce. We are ignoring that, which has become the third rail. It's talked about so much, people pretend like it's not an issue. No, it is. men are pushed to get married today. And the woman can leave whenever she wants to. You could say, well, the man could too. And technically, you would be right. Here's the problem. Especially in a traditional marriage. The man is the breadwinner. So if he walks away, he has a tremendous penalty for walking away. The woman doesn't. In case you don't know anything about common law, you don't know anything about marriage law and family law, which I studied a little bit in college, let me explain something to you. The breadwinner, which is usually the man, especially in a traditional, we're talking about traditional, there are mostly traditional people who are religious who get into these marriages. Can they work? Yes. But your risk is higher. Even if you follow Andrew Wilson's ideas, it's higher risk. And the reason is because juries are very sympathetic to stay-at-home wives, number one. And number two, custody is overwhelmingly given to the woman. And this is something we have to discuss. And it is discussed in Esther Vilar's chapter about the church. Because the enforcer is the pastor, the elders, the people who run the church. They are the enforcers. They are the ones who tell you as a man, no, don't be a sinner. Go out, do not be a sinner. Go out there and make an honest woman of her, even though she's out here in these clubs and maybe has an OnlyFans or she's selling feet pictures or whatever. And I'm going to stop right here before I continue, and I'm going to give you something that I can't stand this anymore. If you're an older man, and by older, I mean you're over the age of 35 and you have kids. Let me explain something to you. Your daughter is not different. You think that, oh, my daughter's not like that, Austin. My daughter's probably about your age in her mid to, you know, early 20s. Maybe she's a teenager into high school. She's not like this. You're just talking about the women that you run into. This is not my problem. Oh. Sir, I'm going to explain something to you. Do you follow your daughter on Instagram? Oh, I'm sure you do. But you're not following her actual Instagram. Do you know what Snapchat is? You might have heard of it once or twice, but you don't know what it is. What about TikTok? You follow her on TikTok? No? You don't know that you kind of heard of it? You might have heard of it on Fox News? Let me explain something to you. Those little things here and there, do you go to the club? Do you go to the pub? Do you go out there and go to these events? The answer is no, because you're married and you work and you don't have time. You know who also is going there? Your daughter. You know how I know? Because I see her there. Mm-hmm. That's what you don't want to accept right there. You think I'm only talking about these 304s and these skeezers. No. Mm-mm. Now, the most dangerous women out here are the ones who don't look like skeezers and 304s, and yet they ape the behavior. They don't look like Kim K, but they act like them. Because in nature, when you see something yellow or you see something that's a bright color, it signals danger. We don't get these signals of danger. That's why I have to invoke lump everybody in, because you don't know. And the common denominator is the culture, which incentivizes this very behavior. And it's all anti-male. It's all just man up and accept it. Oh, make an honest woman out of her, even though she wasn't an honest woman before this. Or she's probably not even doing it fully now. She's just trying to, maybe even if she has turned over a new leaf, that's great. But the ones who are in church, singing, speaking in tongues, singing, oh, praise the Lord, and they're all loud and everything, those are the biggest sinners in that church. The biggest sinners, ex-druggies, ex-hippies, ex-free love people, and feminists, those are them right there. But your pastor won't tell you that because they're donating to his church. They're sharing their testimony, leaving out the parts that are actually important. Leaving out the key details that might actually benefit you as a man to know what to look out for. Instead, they just tell you to pick the right one, leaving zero definition as to what the hell they're talking about. Because everybody knows that you go out there and you choose the wrong person on purpose. Nobody does that. That's why this whole advice is stupid. Stupid. And it makes me sick. But the women are the ones who are overwhelmingly in the church. They outnumber the men. And just like in politics, which women are the biggest demographic of voters, if you want any proof, go look at New York City. when they just elected a communist, in my opinion, front for the Muslim Brotherhood, Mamdani, women overwhelmingly voted for him, especially Gen Z women, 80%. So if you think I'm making it up, you think again, Johnson. Think again, because I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. I wish I was, but I'm not. Now, circling back to the misandrous nature of the church, it does not incentivize men to get their stuff together. It incentivizes them to do what's right in the eyes of God and basically copy Christ with putting themselves on a proverbial cross and hope nobody nails them to it. Hoping that their wife, the feminists, the work husband, the people on her social medias, the guy at the gym, the pool boy, hoping that nobody nails him to that cross and now he gets to pay for all her sins and all her stuff while being labeled as, you weren't here enough. You didn't love me enough. You didn't tell me I was beautiful enough. And basically being and you could say, ladies, if you're sitting here and you're listening to the show, and you're still listening, and you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me, oh, well, Austin, men do this too. Stop. Please stop. Please stop. The percentages are not even close. Are there some men who do this? Duh, or hello, of course there is. But you know what? Most dudes, even if they wanted to, can't. They can't. Why? Because they have no woman to cheat on. They have no woman to cheat on. You can cheat whatever you want. Most dudes want to be married. You know why they're not? Because women don't find them attractive. They're either ugly physically, ugly financially, they're goofy, they're not ripped, they're not cool, they're not blinging around, they don't have a big schlong, whatever it is. This is the reality. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not here to sell you a fantasy, I'm here to give you reality. And if you don't like it, then leave. Men and women, if you don't like what I'm telling you, please leave. You're welcome to leave. But this is the real. This is the truth. I'm not telling you don't go to church. I'm not telling you to go to church or not go. I'm telling you what it's like. All I have to do is look at the fact that Jenna Jameson, a mattress actress from the 90s, is now suddenly a Christian and now being celebrated. Celebrated! This is not a celebratory thing. I personally do not think the church should be so welcoming to people. I really don't. Because all you're doing is telling people they can do whatever the hell they want and still go to heaven. All you're doing is telling people, oh yeah, you can basically do whatever you want, be as debauchers as you want, and basically get spiritual fire insurance. That's essentially what you're selling in the church today. Modern day spiritual fire insurance with no premiums. No premiums, nothing that you actually have to do. You might get a little shame if you don't, but no one can actually force you to do anything. It's spiritual fire insurance. That's the modern day church. You can write that one down. You heard it here first. Spiritual fire insurance. But here's the thing. You're sold in the same way that marriage is for men. Marriage is not for men. There are some men who need marriage. This is true. Some dudes can't get laid unless they get married. That's 100% true. But guess what? Women don't even have to have sex with you today, even if you're married. And if they do it, they do it out of pity. Guess what? When you get divorced, she can run up in the court and say that it was marital rape. Think I'm making it up? Go ahead and give it a try and get back to me. Think I'm making it up? Do some research. Go into ChatGPT. Go into Grok, go to Google, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm not making this up. That a whole grape spectrum come out like a week ago. And it was very high on the list, by the way. High on the list was exactly what I just said. Where she's unenthusiastically giving you marital missionary, but doesn't want to. In your marriage. While you pay all the bills and do all this stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, gentlemen, can marriage be beautiful? And do I wish it was more? Do I wish it was better? Absolutely, I do. But guess what? Me wishing it changes nothing. me wishing that pastors gave men game about, hey, you know, the more you experience women, the more you are privy to the gaslighting and the game, the reindeer games they play every day of the week. That's true. Yes, I wish they did, but guess what? They won't. Why? Because they're acting like because the Bible says something that that's how it should be when they are leaving out the cultural enforcement aspect of it. And I can't believe I even have to tell Christians that and they look at me like I'm crazy. Yes, the reason there was the law and then there was the religion. And the two were very similar back in the day. They didn't just go around telling people, oh yeah, don't have sex before marriage. Oh yeah, just get married and do... People got married at age 15. People got married young because A, they died really quick when they were like 40. And B, because they knew it wasn't sustainable. They knew that it's not fair to enforce something you're not allowing someone to actually... You can't fault somebody. That's like putting only the bad choice in front of people. And when they choose the bad choice, you get angry. And you gave them no alternatives. You can't say, don't have sex before marriage. In fact, in the old days, they had said, hey, you know, don't have sex before marriage for about a year, 2 years, but then you'll get married, and then you can have all the sex you want when you're married. Now, people hit puberty at age 13, they'll get married till 30. And in all that time, you're supposed to just sit there twiddling your thumbs, hating your body. What are you supposed to do with that? The answer is, they don't have an answer for you. Because they're leaving out what I just told you, the cultural enforcement. But you can't do that today. I'm not even sure it would work today. Because I don't want women to do things they don't want to do. I don't believe in Andrew Wilson's prescription of forcing, you know, basically culturally shaming women into having sex with their husbands. I don't want that. I wouldn't want petty sex, would you? I wouldn't want someone to give it up to me because I don't feel like they have a choice. I don't want that. That's sad. I don't want that. I wouldn't want that. My wife and I, if I was married, did that to me, I wouldn't want to get, I'd want a divorce. I'd rather her be happy than sit there and hate herself and hate me. Like, that's ridiculous to me. But of course, that's what he's pushing, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But let me know what you think, because at the end of the day, I'm only one person with one opinion. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Do you think I'm right about the church or wrong? Do you think I'm right about Andrew Wilson and CGA or not? What do you think? I want to hear about it. In the meantime, I got to get out of here. Peace.